This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Caps have been a little busy since we talked last. They've only had two games, both against Pittsburgh. And it's kind of like the tale of two games. And Coach Dan, he's here with me. We're going to talk all about it. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. How you doing, man?
You know, I gotta ask. So at the beginning of this show, I say it's a show about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Does that make it sound like all we do is talk about the 2018 season? Because I kind of was thinking about that tonight. People that are listening to this, they're gonna be like, wait, are they going to continually just talk about the Cup run the entire time?
No, I don't think the problem bringing up, you know, the Cup in the beginning, because we don't really talk about it the rest of the time unless it's in comparison to something going on right now. So right. I don't think there's a problem with mentioning that they were the 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
It makes me feel so good, no matter if the Caps win or lose, just to say that in 2018 they won the Stanley Cup, and it was a good day.
Yeah. Yes, it was a damn good day. I mean, they won the Cup. They will forever be Stanley Cup champions.
Bow! All right, I'm going to have to put a sound effect in there. Coach Dan put his glasses on.
They were just like next to me on the desk, and I was like, I wonder if Randall will notice how I do this.
Well, since we talked last, the Caps only had two games, both against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they returned on Valentine's Day. They broke our hearts, lost to Pittsburgh 6-3. And, of course, the big thing that came out of that game was everyone was going to say, well, if they win, the time off was really good. If they lose, then these guys have rink rust and they're still not working as a team, and this is really going to hurt them. But now, after the next game, the Caps came out with a win, 3-1. On the post-game show, a lot of the commentators, including Gabby, said this was like the first game that this team has looked like a cohesive group. So, are we back to square one right now? Like, was this time off a good thing? Was it not a good thing? Like, I felt like after the one game, it was kind of like, this is it. This is what the whole season is going to be like. Now, after two games back, they look like they know what they're doing again. So what's your take off of the time off and what we've seen in these two games?
Well, can we first, before we get into that, can we get into Boudreau on the broadcast?
Can he just be there every day?
He's amazing.
He's awesome.
I love, first of all, he's already ripping into the other guys, which is funny. Did you catch his little shot at the Minnesota Wild?
They were talking about the ties, right?
Yeah. So he was, I guess, before the show or during the game at some, before the show. Before the game or during the game at some point, Boudreau made a comment to Beninati about his tie. He had like a green and blue. I don't remember exactly what it looked like. It's a tie. Who cares? But he made a comment kind of teasing him about his tie because they all know each other from when Boudreau was here as the head coach.
Right.
And then I guess he made a comment about Brent Johnson's because it was tied really poorly, I guess. And it was because Brent Johnson realized he hadn't tied his tie. And so he like threw it on real fast, I guess, before they went on the air. And I didn't even notice because, again, it's a tie. Who cares? But he made a comment. It was like very subtle. And the other guys were kind of talking, but it was something like, it's not verbatim, but something along the lines of, Minnesota Wild colors. Maybe that's why I'm so angry. And then they moved on. But people on Twitter were like, hold up, caught that. Type. And people were like, they definitely caught that he took a little shot at them, which I thought was pretty funny. But he's great on the broadcast. He's great insight. He understands the game, obviously. And he's just funny. Like, they've got to find a way to keep him around. Like, I know he's setting up stuff in Hershey. You know, he's going to have his junior team. I don't care if you bring him in on Zoom, even when things are back to normal, hopefully next season. And, you know, you got Beninati and Lachlan back in the press box at the arena. You got Alan May in between the benches. Whatever else is going on. Somehow, I want more of Bruce Boudreau.
I'm right there with you. I think Bruce is doing a fantastic job. I'm a type of guy too that once the game is over, like I do check out. I'm done. If it was a good game, the Caps were able to come away with a win, then yeah, I'll stick around. I'll hear what Alan May has to say. But for the most part, I tune out. But now that I know Bruce is on there, I'm sticking around for that post game.
He's
a talent. He's entertaining, and he, like you said, he's got great insight. So yeah, I really do hope he sticks around a little bit longer.
I mean, you have to have a bit of comedy to it,
right?
But I think he's just like he fit in very seamlessly. He didn't have that beginner's how do I want to put this awkwardness that Alan May had at first as he was getting used to being on, you know, TV, and Brent Johnson still kind of has from time to time.
Yeah.
The pregame, I haven't seen any of the pregame stuff, I'll be honest, but the postgame show, I'll tune it. If Boudreaux's on there, I'm like, all right, let me see, I'll watch a couple of minutes to see what's going on. I'm usually at that point, I'm like, all right, let me go check this app I have to see what TV shows I'm still falling behind on. I got to go catch up on something, so I'll go over and watch some TV right after that before I have to go to bed. Because I'm old now.
We've all been
That's
there.
How that works. Yeah, I know. But, we had the two games completely off topic from what your actual question was in terms of this team. Yeah, I think in the game on Saturday, Sunday, there's definite rust. But I think also they didn't play well, like, at all. And I don't think it's just because of the rust. I think they just weren't playing well. I think there was a lot of issues. I think we have some issues with the forwards. With their play, I think we have a complete lack of secondary scoring, at least up through Sunday's game. And I think the defense definitely needed to play better. I think Vanecek was rusty, and he probably wanted a couple of those back. Now, given it was 6-3 as the final score, it really was 4-3. Correct me if I'm wrong. They had two empty netters, so it's not as bad as it looks. But the Caps were not in the game as much as you might think. Like, I don't think there was any way they come out of that game with a win. Maybe they get to overtime if they got a little lucky. But I just don't think they played well enough. They played well enough. There we go. To get anything from that game, and then you see the turnaround on Tuesday, and they look completely different. You're getting secondary scoring. You're getting goals from Sheary and Eller. You're getting much better defensive play, better goaltending. I mean, Vanecek was all over the place. And I think at that point, they shifted the lineup a little bit, but I think it definitely looked like a more well-rounded team. I do think, and I was talking with our buddy Ryan on Twitter, I think after Sunday's game. But we were talking about, does this team need to make a move? Do they need to make a trade? Do they need to shake things up? I've talked about it, I think, on here before. I think they need to get a top six forward. If not for now, you get them from now for next season, because they have a lack of depth in scoring on this team. And that's going to come back to bite them if you're constantly relying on your top three, four forwards to put the puck in the net. That's going to be a problem eventually.
Well, like we saw in the Cup run, here we are bringing it up. We need all of the lines to score. I mean, the big goals came from, Smith-Pelly and Lars Eller. Ovechkin is, of course, Ovechkin. He's going to have an impact on the game no matter what. But it's got to be more than just him. And we haven't seen that this year. Yes, Ovechkin did miss four games due to COVID protocol. He said it was a suspension, but COVID protocol is what the NHL is saying. And we saw some people kind of stepping up, but it's been guys like Jacob Verana, who it looks like he finally woke up in that second game against Pittsburgh. Verana has been kind of a ghost up until this point, and it's good to see him back and scoring goals and have it being really awkward during the intermission interviews. But this is just, I don't know what's going on.
That was
so weird.
First of all, he was 100% out of breath. Or he just did not want to be there. And he's like, what? What are we doing?
If he's out of breath that much, now I'm not an athlete, so I cannot tell him what to do. But I would think like the conditioning would be a little bit better where you could have an interview during an intermission. But if he's playing hard, go for it, dude. Do whatever you got to do. But it was good to see Jacob Verana. You're saying there's no depth past that top line. I definitely think there is depth, but it's
not out of the bottom six. Sorry. What? The top six, bottom six. There'd be plenty of depth out of the top six forwards. I'm not seeing a lot of goal scoring or a lot of points from guys that aren't playing on the top two lines. I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now, right now, here's the top couple guys leading the team in points. You got Backstrom, who's got 19 points in 14 games. You got Ovechkin's got 13 and 10. Wilson's got 12 and 12. Carlson's got 12 and 14. Verana 10 and 13. Oshie 8 and 13. I'd like to see a little bit more of goal scoring from Oshie. He's only got 2 goals in 13 games. That's a problem. Then you get to Schultz, Chara. Then Hathaway's got 5 points in 14 games. Eller's got 5 and 10. That's actually, I mean, that's not terrible.
But Eller missed a little bit of time.
No, but I'm saying he's got 5 and 10, so he's averaging a point every other game. So that's not terrible.
Right.
Ponik's got 5 and 14. I want to see better there. Shiri's got 4 and 11. Dow's got 4 and 14. Kuznetsov's got 4 and 6. Actually, that's not that bad now that I think about it. 6 games, 2 goals, 2 assists. If you're Ryan, you're thinking you can move him out. I'm still a little bit on the fence with that one. But, I want to see more depth. They have plenty of depth in terms of physical bodies, but I'm not seeing enough depth in terms of secondary scoring. And if we lose someone for a couple of games, like we saw without Ovechkin or the Russians, or if Oshie's not scoring, Vrana's streaky, so he's not scoring, who's putting the puck in the net that's not named Alex or Tom?
Well, here's the thing. Like you said, you need more people to be scoring goals besides that top line, besides that top six. But you have goal scorers. Jacob Vrana, TJ Oshie, Lars Eller, those guys, all of them are known goal scorers, and they should be scoring goals. However, for whatever reason...
Dude, Eller's got 2.
I don't know what's happening this year. It's just not working. And is that due to the people that are on those lines? Carl Hagelin, up until when he came to the Caps, he was a very talented hockey player. And I think he signed a contract with the Capitals and started to decline almost immediately. But
they kept him for his PK skills, which he's done well, I think.
Okay.
I actually don't know where they are at on the penalty kill as a team. I mean, if you're looking at Mike Eller, I'll give you points for that because he's not exactly playing with world beaters here. But Oshie and Vrana have no excuse to not be able to put the puck in the net. Like, I give Oshie a little bit of a space on this because he was playing center, which is not his natural position. So for a couple of games, he was completely out of where he should be in his normal play. But only getting 2 goals in 13 games, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Vrana's got 5 and 13. That's better, but that's still a problem. I want to see more goal scoring from the top six. I want to see it from the second line. And we're not getting it. Right now, Backstrom, Ovechkin, and Wilson are leading the team in goals. Backstrom's got 7. Ovechkin's got 5. Wilson's got 5. Vrana's got 5, even though I was talking smack about it. Vrana's got played one more game than Tom Wilson, and he's got the same amount of goals. So maybe I need to back off him a little bit. But I do want to start seeing some more goal scoring from Vrana. I mean, Shiri's got more than Oshie. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all.
No, I think they have the depth to be able to make a trade, but if you want to bring in something of value, someone that's going to be able to play in the top six, then you're going to have to move something out of value. So I don't know, if you're Ryan, you're moving Kuznetsov. If you're me, I'm looking at a defenseman to move out, someone who's got a big cap hit because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with this cap ceiling next year. It sounds like it's going to stay at the same one it's at now. And the Caps have some interesting moves to make in the offseason because they have to re-sign the, team captain. And they got to re-sign Vrana. And they got to re-sign Shiri if they want to. And then Siegenthaler, Van Riemsdyk, Chara, if you want to bring him back, he needs a new contract. So you have to be able to move someone out. And if you want, I'd like to see his team get a little bit younger. I mean, right now the average age of their forwards is 29.5. I'd like to see that number come down a little bit. Average age of their defense is 30.6, but that is a little skewed because you're looking at it, all of them are right around, with the exception of Siegenthaler, they're all at somewhere between 29 and 31. And then you have Char at 43. So that number, it's not entirely fair, the average.
Right.
Like, I never really understand how this works first, but like someone's messing with the curve in that one. So I'd like to see defense, I'd like to see that number go down because most of those guys are 29 and 30. I'd like to see another young defenseman. Even though he's probably one of the younger ones on here, I'm fine because I think you have to give up value to get value. I'm fine with moving out Dmitry Orlov. And I know I keep saying that, But I need to, I want to bring in someone for the top six, especially if you have a chance of losing Oshie in the offseason to Seattle. You need to replace him. And you have no one on your roster and no one in the organization right now, or it looks like right now, that can take that spot. And I know someone out there is going, Connor McMichael. He's a center. So, yeah, he could theoretically replace him on the wing and then eventually move to center, but I don't see it, not based on how he's played so far. And I don't think you can go into next season with hopes and dreams that McMichael is going to be the guy. Not to mention, that's putting a lot of pressure on him. So I want to bring in a forward, be it a center or a winger, ideally a winger, that can, you know, maybe you bump Vrana down to the third line, and then you got Vrana, Eller, and someone else. And you get a little bit more production, hopefully, out of that third line.
All right, so, I mean, we've said this in the past about what to do with Orlov, Kuznetsov, some of these trade bait clips that have been out there. And Kuznetsov, I think, has a lot of off-ice baggage that I think is going to scare away a lot of owners and GMs. He's got talent, but he's got talent. He's kind of got that Semin syndrome. You know, he's got talent when he wants to have talent, but he also has some on ice or off ice antics keeping him out of the Olympics next year that a lot of people are going to be scared to pick up. But we've gone over.
Someone would take a flyer on him. You don't think anybody would take a flyer on him?
I mean,
like,
I think they would. 28
years old. He's got a ring. You got him, given it's a high cap hit at 7.8 for the next 4 years after this season. I feel like a team that has cap space and is looking to, like, maybe they think, okay, this is the guy that can push us to that next level into making the playoffs, and then anything can happen. Do they go out and pick him up?
I mean, he could maybe be the centerpiece, like we've been talking about Oshie being the centerpiece of Seattle. Maybe Kuznetsov could be the centerpiece of Seattle. Who knows?
I mean, I'm looking at, like, Buffalo right now and being like, who can we pick off from them? Because they are a mess.
Who's the BU kid?
What?
Eichel. Eichel, the guy from
Yeah, so
BU.
I thought about that. I mean, 24, he's a center. 24 is his age. Center, like, perfect. He's getting $10 million a year. So you're actually adding cap money to the team. So that's where I'm like, and he's got, who after the season, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more years. So, like, I'm tempted, if I'm the Caps, if there's, like, a chance. I don't see that happening. I don't want Taylor Hall. I feel like talking about a guy who might have, like, he's looking for another big payday. He's already making $8 million. I don't want Skinner. Like, if I want anyone from that team, I want Eichel or Reinhart's tempting. I actually don't know how he's doing this season, but because he's only 25. I'm looking to get younger right now. Dude, Cody Eakin's already 29. When did that happen? I also don't think they move on from Eichel unless Eichel's like, get me the heck out of here.
Well, I mean, he can't be happy there. I mean, we're seeing what's going on in Buffalo right now. He's got a lot of talent. He's one of the star players from Boston University. He was drafted, what, second in the draft?
Yeah, behind Matthews.
Yeah, so he's got some talent that's just, his good years are being wasted right now in Buffalo. He's not winning a cup in Buffalo. But my question to you was, instead of saying who you think the Caps should get rid of, I was going to say, who are the people you think should, is there anyone specific you think that we should bring into the Capitals that would help this team out? Because we've gone over who we can spare, but to bring in, I don't know. I don't know if I have any specific names that I can just put out there going, yeah, get this guy a Caps jersey, a blue one, a third alternate one, and let's go with that one.
Yo, I feel like they should make the reverse retro their third and not the blue one.
The reverse retros are very popular.
Uh-huh. So I'm looking for a team right now that is potentially having a fire sale. And I'd have to go through the NHL a bit more and see, like, I want to see which team has been up there in age that thought this would be a run and it just didn't work out. And they're like, you know what? Maybe it's time to reboot this thing. You know, I'm looking at, dude, the Florida Panthers are second in the Central at 9-2-2. When did that happen? Yeah. What? Okay, anyway, sorry. I just, like, I saw that and my mind was like, oh, what? You know, I'm looking at Ottawa. I'm looking at Vancouver. I'm looking at, does Detroit have anybody I want? You know, I'm looking at Nashville. They might be wanting to blow. I saw an article today that was like, Nashville is going to be sellers. I was like, it's 15 games in. Calm down. They're 6-9. They go on a little bit of a run and they're definitely right back in it. They're not, Who is garbage right now? Ottawa is the worst team in the league right now. They're actually behind Buffalo, technically. Although,
right. It's not us.
Ottawa's played 17. Buffalo's played 12. And Buffalo's 1 point ahead of them. So Ottawa is definitely the dumpster fire, at least. You know, I'm looking at Ottawa. I'm going, who do you want to give up? I'm looking for a mid-20s winger that doesn't have a massive cap hit. Even if it has a cap hit similar to Orlov's, like, that's fine. Because reality is you're probably going to have to do something like that. You know, you're looking for someone that potentially is in the same situation Orlov's in, where maybe not playing as well as you want, spent a little too much money on him. Maybe he's a guy who needs a new environment. I'll take that German. I think he's German. Stoltzli? I'm kidding. There's no way they're going to give that kid up. He's going to be a star in this league, and he's only 19 years old. There's no freaking way he's going anywhere. Actually, looking at their roster, I don't want anybody. Never mind. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at a team that's looking to make some moves. Maybe it doesn't happen until later in the season, you know, and unless the Caps really are struggling and they need to make up some points. Also, this has just been a weird season in terms of how many games everybody's played. So at one point, it was like the Caps have played, I don't know, four less games than Boston, and they're way behind them. Now they play the same amount, and they're only 5 points back. So it's not the end of the world. A lot can change between now and, you know, in a week or two, and Caps could be back on top. You know, their goal differential is a -2. That's a problem. But I think Samsonov, once he's back, I'm guessing he becomes the number one within the next couple of weeks, just based on, you know, prospective talent. And I think they can start turning this thing around.
Coming up right now, I mean, this weekend, it's a back-to-back night. It's a day game and then a night game. So we've got four games to talk about until we talk next Wednesday. So there's a good chance we do see Samsonov in net for at least, I'd say they split it, go 2-2.
Well, we'll see how he does in Hershey, because I think he's playing on Thursday.
Yeah, he missed a lot of time, especially with COVID. He kind of got...
It's tonight. The Bears are playing tonight against Binghamton.
Okay.
So I have to imagine he's starting that game because he got, well, not really his fault, but according to the Bears coach, he played very well in their like 5-4 overtime loss. So we'll see. But, you know, I would agree with you. He gets at least one, if not two, of the next four before we chat again.
Now, if you're Laviolette, you've got Buffalo, New York, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh. What are the who gets what game?
So much for playing everybody in like sets. Screw that plan; it didn't work. Or I don't know if this is part of the whole I'm not even going to go into the whole thing because I can. It's too many freaking things. Basically, the Caps had seven games that were moved around to make up for the missed games, and then the one against the Rangers, I think it's up this weekend, had the time change from a 7:00 to a 12:30.
Yeah, which Kuznetsov came out and said he hates afternoon games. So let's just figure that one's going to be a loss.
I don't understand that. Good, what? You had to get up earlier? Aw. You're a professional. Man up.
Well, that's they're creatures of habit. So I guess
that's fair. That's fair. That's a very good point. That is true. They have to go through their usual routines. And that's, I think, you know, professional athletes in general. So that's
I'm the same way. Like, if I don't get to start my day like doing yoga now and I have to wait, like I can't do it after work. I just can't do it. I can't get the motivation after working 8 hours to the go work out. And I have done that in the past at like 9:30 at 10:00 at night, and I hate it with a passion. But
nah, I have a toddler. Nothing is ever the same in the morning, because whatever mood he's in, we're going out every different direction.
All right. So you got Vitek, you got Samsonov. Who gets what game? You've got Buffalo, New York, New Jersey, Pittsburgh.
Well, Vanacek's getting Buffalo.
Up what night?
I mean, Vanacek's going to get Buffalo because Samsonov will have played the night before, that being tonight.
Okay.
You know, and I think Vanacek gets the Rangers because Samsonov might, you know, if they want to give him one more on Saturday, Samsonov can play one more for Samsonov. You give him one more in Hershey, and on Saturday, while Vanacek plays against the Rangers, and then I could see. Then do you call Samsonov up to play against the Devils? I don't know. That's a tough call. I think if he plays well on Wednesday, maybe you call him up and he gets the Rangers game, and then Vanacek's back in net against the Devils, and then basically whoever played better over the weekend gets the Penguins. But I think Vanacek is definitely... I don't know if you can hear that airplane. He's loud. Yeah. Somebody's getting one last flight in before the storm. It's all right. We're going to get like, I don't know, 4 to 6 inches, so it's really going to be a dusting based on how all the storms have gone this winter for us so far. Everybody else in Texas, be safe. But Buffalo, yeah, I think it's Vanacek against the Sabres on Thursday night.
All right, anything else we should talk about in Caps world before we move on?
We actually like nicely covered all of my notes.
All right.
I think, I mean, I want to, well done. Let's clap it up. Clap it up.
Yeah.
I want to see, you know, I'm curious to see what the lines are going to be. I have to imagine that they'll be the same on Thursday as they were in the win over the Penguins because, I mean, it worked. But what I really want to see is the effort. I mean, you're playing a team that is clearly struggling and looking for some sort of spark right now in the Buffalo Sabres. And this is an opportunity. The Rangers, you know, it's different, but the Sabres, that's an opportunity to continue to build on what you've been doing. Where did the standings go? I just had them up. Now I can't find the NHL website and the Caps website. Why are standings in stats? That makes no sense to me. Anyways, you have an opportunity to take on a couple of teams that are struggling a little bit in the Rangers, the Sabres, and the Devils. That's a good opportunity. These are all teams that are behind you in the Eastern Division. So I want, you know, these all need to be wins in my mind. And this is an opportunity for them to really build something and get some momentum going into the rest of their season.
Yeah, I mean, build off of what you got against the Penguins, that 3-1 win. They finally seemed like they were working together as a cohesive group. Build on that. Get some wins before you see the Penguins again. Like you said, these are all teams that are behind the Capitals that they should be able to beat. So get some of that motivation together. Feel good about yourselves. Get some wins. It was a 4-game loss streak. So if we can get 4 games winning in the other direction, I think that would help the Caps both mentally and, of course, in the standings as well. So hopefully the Caps can walk away with a couple wins coming up. So that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 1-1 with a win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. They're currently 1-0-2 and tied for third in the North Division, although there are teams in the North that they aren't playing. So, no idea how that works. How are you in the same division so when you're never playing? And then there's another division that has like 3 or 4 teams and they have like 7 or 8. I don't know. AHL, that's all I can say. They'll be back at it tonight, as we've mentioned already, that being Wednesday. They are in Binghamton before they head back to the Giant Center on Saturday for a day game against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. In other Bears news, Caps prospect Connor McMichael scored his first professional goal back on the 11th, so congratulations to him.
That was a pretty-looking goal.
Let's head down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 0-4 and are currently on a 6-game losing streak. That's not good. They are currently 5th in the East with 22 points, 9 back of first-place Indy. They'll be back at it with 2 games before we talk again. They're back-to-back on the road in Jacksonville starting on Friday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, let's hope the Stingrays can get things together, go and beat that 6-game losing streak. We don't want to see that down in South Carolina.
No. I still need a Stingray shirt or jersey would be cool, but I'll take a shirt.
I've got a sweater. I've got a jersey. It's usually the one I wear when I have to go out and shovel snow. I don't know why. But for whatever reason, that's the jersey I usually pick.
That's very random.
I know, right? It's weird. All right. That's just me. All right. So that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, well, it's a big weekend in the NHL. We've got some outdoor games in Lake Tahoe this weekend. Super exciting stuff, not just the Caps playing back-to-back games. We got the NHL doing a lot of stuff. So, Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Well, like you were talking about, let's start in Lake Tahoe, where the NHL announced that Green Day will premiere a new song during the first intermission during Saturday's game between Colorado and Vegas. This is after the national anthem, obviously, which will be performed by South Lake Tahoe native Aurora Siguch, a 21-year-old singer serving as a collection specialist for a Tahoe-based COVID testing company. Also during the first intermission, NBC will air the $1 million hole-in-one challenge featuring Nathan MacKinnon. The Colorado forward will attempt to match Avalanche GM and Hall of Famer Joe Sakic's hole-in-one from the 2011 American Century Celebrity Golf Championship. That's too many words. That was actually also at Lake Tahoe. Now, if MacKinnon makes an ace to match Sakic, the NHL will donate $1 million to the NHL Players Association Learn to Play program.
I have a feeling that they're going to be donating no matter what. just a hunch.
He actually did terribly, and he owes us money now. That's how bad he was. On Sunday, the national anthem will be performed by Pentatonix. I don't know who that is. And the NHL will recognize...
What? Come on. You know who Pentatonix is.
No, I don't.
They're an a cappella group. They're always out around Christmas. Come on.
You guys can't see this, but I'm shrugging. I have no idea. I mean, if I heard, I'd probably be like, oh, okay. No idea. Anyways, what did I say? Performed by the band that I don't know. And then the NHL will recognize Olympic stars Hannah Teeter and Maddie Bowman before Boston takes on Philly. In trade news, NHL general managers are bullying forward Alex Galchenyuk as dude was traded twice in three days. Alex, don't unpack your bags. All right, just wait. Hold on. Next time he signs a contract, I got to imagine he's going to ask for at least a partial no movement clause. Stop picking on him, okay? First, on the 13th, he got dealt from Ottawa with center Eric Paquette to Carolina for forward Ryan Dzingel. Then on the 15th, two freaking days later, before he probably even got to do anything in Carolina, they sent him to Toronto. Actually, technically, it kind of works as an upgrade for him. They sent him to Toronto for forward Igor Korshkov and defenseman David Warsawski. So, yeah, can you guys let him, like, settle in for, like, a couple weeks or a season before moving him again? And let's wrap up this segment of the show with some suspension news, as Arizona forward Johan Larson was a kid. He got suspended two games for an illegal check to the head of St. Louis forward Zach Sanford. Why and how are you illegally checking someone in the head? It's not... I don't understand it. Like, I get annoyed by hooking or tripping penalties because I feel like they're lazy, but, like, I get it. Because sometimes you're trying to do something else, or, like, a slashing, like, you were trying to do something else, and you messed it up. Fine, whatever. You have to go out of your way, I feel like, to check someone in the head. Like, you're either not paying attention, so you suck, or you did it on purpose, so you're... Brandon's gonna have fun bleeping this part out. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right, so I'm looking up some of the stuff going on at this Lake Tahoe game, and, all right, so besides, you brought up the 21-year-old singer who's going to be doing the national anthem. Listen to this. The U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Second Class Jared Elliott will arrive by boat, dock at the Edgewood Pier, and deliver the game puck to Daryl Braga, I hope I'm saying that name right, a charge nurse and lead RN in the emergency department at the Barton Memorial Hospital. Miranda Miller, an activities director at the skilled nursing facility, a part of the Barton Memorial Hospital, and Dusty R. Gooch, a firefighter and paramedic for the Tahoe Douglas Fire Protection District and the father of the Saturday Anthem singer. The trio of frontline workers will present the puck to game officials.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool that they're having these people that have been working really hard during the pandemic deliver a puck by boat And then the pregame festivities will conclude with a flyover featuring one HC.
What is the weather supposed to be like? By the way, did you see the picture of what the rink looks like with the mountains in the background?
Beautiful. I love
it's
it.
It's amazing. You sitting there and just, I want to see one player playing in the game just kind of look up and kind of pause and just be like, it's very pretty here. And then it gets like checked into the boards. And then we're talking about the suspension next week.
That's the thing, though, that I don't like about this season. And I love having the Caps on my TV. I love watching hockey, but it's just not the same. Seeing these empty arenas, it was different when football was on because football is already shot very close to the field. You don't really notice the fans because they're not in the shots. But when you're a hockey team and you've got these shots of the rink and there's nobody there, it takes me personally out of the game. So when they announced this was all going on, especially without fans, I was like, they should do this outside. They should do this like in the mountains in like a picturesque place in Canada and do a tournament, not do a full season. So I'm very intrigued to see how this looks because I've seen pictures of the rink. It looks gorgeous. Lake Tahoe is a beautiful area anyway. So I'm excited to see what this game will be like. And I kind of wish they would even do like a shortened season and just have done them all outside. But I know that's very expensive. That's why they only do these once or twice a year. But we'll see. But
it's pretty.
Yeah. Are you a big Green Day fan?
More of the earlier stuff. Like Dookie is one of my favorite albums. You know, I like some of their stuff that's newer, but I mean, everybody, you know, they change as time goes on and people's tastes in music change. So, but they're definitely up there, top 10 band for me.
I'm a huge Green Day fan. The last album I did not think was very good, but American Idiot I thought was, you know, one of the most important albums of our lifetime. So it'll be fun to hear some new music from them. They were actually a band that was supposed to go on tour last summer with, I believe it was them,
Weezer,
Fall Out Boy, Weezer. It was like, you know, all the pop punk bands that I kind of grew up listening to. And that was supposed to be a big tour. They were going to be at Hershey. And I think they were going to play in D.C. So I was planning to go to that show before, you know, the world ended last March. So it'll be fun to see them playing again and hearing some new music. Hopefully it's better than their last album, which was really bad. But they've been using Green Day a lot. I think they used them
They have a 2-year deal with them where they're going to be like,
is that what
doing
it is?
Stuff with them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I love hockey. I love Green Day, so it's good to see them all together, working together. But yeah, it'll be great to see Green Day featured in an NHL game. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, are they playing at like Tahoe? Like, who are they playing to? There's no one around.
During the second intermission, Saturday's game broadcast on NBC will feature the world premiere of Green Day's newest song, Here Comes the Shock. The song will be featured in a highlight reel of the top plays of the first quarter of the 2020-2021 NHL season. So that's not as cool.
Oh, they're not like playing really it live? They're just gonna,
no,
like,
I would have enjoyed. Yeah, I would have enjoyed some music live.
Oh, that was anticlimactic.
The debut of the song and highlight video are part of the 2-year cross-promotion partnership with the band. Okay, well, I mean, not the same.
Yeah, I'll be honest, a little not as interested as I was before.
Yeah, bit of a letdown.
I missed that part, apparently.
So that kind of sucks.
Brandon's mad.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer. All right. Well, anyway, so I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. Like, where's the freaking secondary scoring? And then they have secondary scoring and I look like an idiot. You can also find me on there talking about Arsenal Football Club. Got a big game tomorrow against Benfica. And then we've got the Bills, Washington football team. And did you see, Brandon, by the way, did you see the thing that came out from MLB? From Fangraphs, maybe? I don't remember who it was from. About the odds for every team winning the World Series for this upcoming season.
I did see that, yeah.
And like, yeah. They gave the Orioles 0.0%. Like,
yeah,
I know,
go us.
I know they're not going to be good. I have an Orioles hat right somewhere, right over there. You know, I'm an Orioles fan. Grew up an Orioles fan. Like the team. Nats fan as well because I'm a DC guy. But that's mean. Like, I know they're not going to be good, but you don't have to rub it in their faces. Like, to literally give them I mean, they gave the freaking Rangers, who were supposed to be terrible, like, I think it was the Rangers, 0.1%. Like, not even a real number. I mean, it's a real number. I understand how that works. But not even a soft, you know, it, I don't know. I just felt it was rude. But yeah, somehow that's finding me on Twitter, at WTPCoachDan. But if you've enjoyed the show, and you would like to complain about the Orioles not having a chance in you know where of winning the World Series, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming up, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, and whatever else comes into Brandon's head. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was talking about the Bills and the Washington football team, where my shirt from Fanatics is a little off-center. Thanks, Fanatics. If they happen to like a certain Baltimore-located team, is there another podcast they can check out?
That's right. Even though it is the off-season for the Baltimore Ravens, you can check out archived episodes of The Call. That is where me and my buddy Josh talk all kinds of things about the Ravens. And hopefully, that is where hopefully J.J. Watt is listening. Realizes there's some really passionate Ravens fans out there and that he should come to Baltimore, play against his brothers twice a year. And
he's going to Buffalo.
No, he needs to come here to Baltimore.
Nah, Diggs is already trying to get him, man.
Somebody better be talking to him. I mean, if he wants a Lombardi trophy, come to Baltimore, play with Calais Campbell.
He's not going to settle down. I saw a report today saying he's going to go to Cleveland. I was like,
I've seen that. Apparently there's like an Easter egg where he's on New Girl and he actually teases about going to Cleveland. So
he's reading a script. Everybody needs to calm down. It's not his lines. Like, he's not going, I know which team I want to support.
So I don't know, but I would love to see him there. But if wherever you listen to What the Puck, if you're a Ravens fan, you can listen to The Call as well. Now, Coach Dan and I do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So there are four games until we talk again. Four games.
Hey, Brandon, how many games?
Last week. Four games. That's right.
That's this many.
That many. Coach Dan can use one hand and count. Good for
him. Yeah. Yeah, after five, I'm in trouble.
Yep, that's true. On Thursday, February 18th, the Capitals. All these games are in D.C., by the way, so they got a nice little homestand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess after spending 3 days in Pittsburgh, you want to stay home for a little longer. So,
Settle Down is a very nice city.
So the Caps are up against the Buffalo Sabres. That game's at 7 o'clock, and that is on NBC Sports Washington. On Saturday, February 20th, the Capitals are up against the Rangers, and that game is at 12:30 in the afternoon. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on the NHL Network. Back-to-back on Sunday, the Caps are up against the Devils. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that nationally on NBC Sports or locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Tuesday the 23rd, those pesky Penguins come into town, and you can watch that game. It's at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports nationally, NBC Sports Washington locally here. So four games in the span of a week. That is a hefty schedule, and it does not stop. It is game on, game off, game on, game off through the end of the month. So this is going to be a busy 2 weeks for this team. It's going to be a rough season for these guys. But
that's good. Give them a chance to get in the flow of things.
I think that's good. But again, we're recording this on Wednesday the 17th. Things are, at any point, could change. Things could get postponed. Things could get canceled. Who knows? But as of right now on the 17th, those are when and where the you can watch those four games. So hopefully we get those four games in. Hopefully everyone can play. And hopefully we can be back to the show and doing the show next week with four wins. So hopefully we can be talking about that. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask. Hey, even wear two. I think you're supposed to wear two now, right?
The recommendation is to wear two.
Yeah.
So if you don't have, like, solid one already.
Yeah. Wear some masks. Just cover your face.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.